Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Mark Forman, Associate Director for Information Technology and E-Government in the Office of Management and Budget. Joining us in our conversation is Dave Carr, another PwC partner.
Thanks, Paul. Mark, in the last segment, you talked about the Quicksilver Government Task Force, which created the vision, if you will, for e-government within the current administration. Hundreds, probably, of projects were nominated. How did you narrow it down to just 24?
Well, you're absolutely right. There were hundreds of projects, a little under 400 to be exact. What we found is that we had to look at the business architecture and use that as the guideline. And when we started overlaying it against the business architecture of the federal government, we found the redundancy issue of 19 out of the 24 agencies doing each initiative. And it gave us a framework then to whittle it down. We whittled down the 400 to 33 initiatives. We used a steering group to help make the decisions, and we used some criteria and a scoring algorithm. But the criteria were, first, did it have a large impact in terms of how it affected the citizens and how many citizens it impacted? Second, did it save us in redundant IT investments? Third, did it free up government resources? In other words, reduce the expenditure or the cost of government operations or improve the quality of government operations? Fourth, did it reduce the burden on the customers, paperwork burden, filing burden, et cetera? Fifth, was it doable in three-month increments? We wanted everything to be done within 18 to 24 months. And then finally, the risk management. Did we have manageable risk? And we scored it on those criteria, put it through the model. So we did an initial down select from 33 to 30, and we went off and did mini business cases using our business case methodology for the federal government. Came back, put that back into the scoring algorithm, and met with our steering group, our deputy secretaries, and asked them to first take a look at the scores we had come up with, discuss them, and we wanted to get down to no more than 25 initiatives per segment. When we met at our second steering group meeting, the deputies decided to take a couple of the initiatives and basically turn those into a business case initiative. So we ended up with five initiatives per citizen center group: government to citizen, or government to individuals, government to business, government to government, and internal efficiency and effectiveness, five in each of those. And then we added in the authentication, it's the 21st. The two business cases made 23. After the task force ended, Mark Everson, who is the comptroller for the controller for the federal government, the head of the Office of Federal Financial Management, and also the nominee to be the deputy director of management for OMB. He's the acting chair of the President's Management Council. Mark and I looked at payroll processing as another issue where the same methodology could be applied. That became the 24th initiative because there was so much money. But at the end of the day, these were initiatives that we found could either be simplified to drive benefits by focusing on the citizen, or unified. And all of them, it turned out, could be unified. We had 5 to 10 projects each that could be consolidated around the citizen, around the customer.
Well, let's go through one category. You mentioned government to business, and one of the projects is one-stop business compliance information. Could you tell us about this?
We create somewhere between 300 and $50 billion to $500 billion per year in redundant reporting requirements. Government thinks in the paper world. Business has largely embraced e-business approaches and thinks about electronic data transactions or data exchange. So the Business Compliance One-Stop is an initiative to take and aggregate dozens of agency initiatives that essentially would take their paper processes and move them online under the Paperwork Elimination Act. Turns out we have 6,600 transactions or paperwork processes to be put online. If we just web enable those, that's going to continue that $350 to $500 billion reporting burden into the electronic world. E-business is all about collecting once and using many, making it easier for citizens to apply, or businesses, small businesses, to apply, to comply with, to get service from the federal government. So the Business One Stop really leverages a collect once, use many. It leverages XML technology. It also simplifies government, so small businesses don't have to hire, accountants, lawyers, lobbyists, just to deal with the federal government. It's a collect once, use many, simplify dealing with the government.
Another one of the groups was described as internal efficiency and effectiveness. What changes are federal employees likely to see as a result of this in terms of their work?
Well, there's no question that the president's management agenda items fit together. The internal efficiency and effectiveness is where we see the leverage between, for example, financial management, human capital, performance-based budgeting, or the Performance Integration Initiative in e-government. If you take those as a whole, that's enterprise resource management, or ERP, in the private sector. In the federal government, agencies are investing in ERP, but it works this way. The human resources directors buy a copy of the ERP. The financial managers buy a copy of ERP. The payroll processing centers buy a copy of the ERP. So we're buying enterprise resource management, but we're not doing it. What that means for somebody working in a program or somebody working in one of these back office operations of the federal government is it's just as hard to do their work as it was in the old paper world. It came out very clearly in the task force that the federal employees want that modern work environment. They want that to be a knowledge worker. They are knowledge workers. The infrastructure doesn't support them. So these internal efficiency and effectiveness projects really provide for that human capital management, the modern ways people do their work. And it starts everything from the recruitment process, how they come into government, through how they're doing work, things like just simple things like getting reimbursed for travel. When I came into the federal government, I was shocked. I filled out 15 or 16 different forms my first day on the job just to become a federal employee. So after about the eighth or ninth form, I started counting how much different data was there. And of course, there's just one or two different data items, but I was filling that out 15 or 16 times. Of course, that continues on wherever you work. It's a paperwork process, and we don't leverage information that we've already got. You know, each of those 15 or 16 different forms was then being keyed in by somebody to 15 or 16 different information systems. So we continue these redundant information systems. It makes it hard for the employees to do their work. These internal efficiency and effective projects all are simplifying that and making it easier for the employees to do their work, giving them that modern knowledge worker environment.
Mark, there's a lot of people that I think relate positively to the notion of citizen-centric government. Which of these initiatives do you think address that area most specifically, and kind of what are your expectations about the future in that area?
Well, we know that there are a couple truisms about the federal government that are unique to other governments that are becoming an e-government. The first is that most of our transactions are with businesses, then state and local government, then federal employees, and finally the citizen. We rely on state and local government to actually build that interface with the citizen. So we have to work with them much better than we have in the past, and this is one of the things that's new about the Bush administration. So part of becoming citizen-centered, and we see this significantly in how we're moving forward in Homeland Security, part of being citizen-centered is that delivery channel. The other part, though, is how we deal direct with the citizens. And one of the things that has been amazing to us, of course, in being citizen-centered, you have to look at what the citizens want. So we rely on survey data and studies for that, web analytics and so forth. It's turned out that there's a tremendous demand for citizens to see the regulations, the rules that are being promulgated, and to get control over that. We saw that first in the studies from the Council for Excellence in Government. They went more in depth in that this year, and they found out citizens want to drive accountability in government by actually seeing, being able to comment, being heard on their comments as it relates to proposed rules and regulations, the processes of government. The Pew Internet report that came out a couple months ago said, indeed, 42 million Americans have gone online to look at proposed rules and regulations. 23 million Americans actually have commented on that. Now, a number of people said, oh, that can't be right. That's 23 million, that's tens of millions of Americans. Maybe that's who's sending comments to members of Congress or to government agencies. but they can't really be looking at rules and regulations. I had a conversation with John Carlin, the archivist. The archives are where we collect all the data that go into the Federal Register, the Code of Federal Regulations. And he said, yes, indeed, he's seen the same trend. 65 million Americans last year downloaded documents from the Federal Register. Okay, now compare that to 5 years ago, 1995, 1996. 20,000 people got that information by ordering a copy of the Federal Register. Okay, those numbers actually dropped to 15,000. When we actually look at the Code of Federal Regulations, it gets even more surprising. There was over 3.5 million people in 1995 and 96 who were buying copies of the Code of Federal Regulations, physical copies. That dropped to 1 million last year. So somewhere between a third to 25% of the people are now doing this in the paper world. 100 million downloads of the Code of Federal Regulations from the internet. The people are online and they are using that free democracy. The Online Rulemaking Initiative is the one initiative that we started out to give, let business, small business primarily, be able to comment on rules and regulations without having to hire a lawyer or lobbyist or go to a $3,000 or $4,000 conference. We've realized since then that this is a fast-moving issue in e-democracy for American citizens.
It's a good stopping point. It's time for a break. Rejoin us as we continue our conversation about management with Mark Foreman of OMB. We've talked a lot about what's taking place now in terms of e-government, but what needs to be done going forward? We'll ask Mark when the Business of Government Hour returns.